Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe.
Chewie, we're home.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beard said I might have to explain the liner for this segment, and so I'll do that. You know what? I'll do that as we introduce Matt Galloway. You can follow him on Twitter here at the Matt. It's at the Matt Galloway, right? I got so distracted by the liner, I had the wrong tab open. This is so disappointing.
You're right.
Thank God.
You're right.
Thanks, Matt.
You have the best bumps or liners or whatever you call them in the radio business of any show that I come on.
Thank you. Like, that, if that's the only thing that we can have the W on that confidently, I'll 100% take it. This is Matt Galloway, a KUB reporter for the Topeka Capital Journal. You can follow him on Twitter at the Matt Galloway. Do you know what that sound was? I imagine you know what that sound was.
I know what the front end of it was. Han Solo in one of the newer Star Wars movies, but the second end of it, I'm going to need an explanation on.
Okay, we're gonna play it one more time here without the Star Wars context, and then I will explain it in full, because I imagine lots of people are very questionable of the same thing. Go ahead and hit that again, Beards.
I mean, it sounds like Howard Dean, but I know that was, what, 16 years ago, and I don't think that the audio quality sounded that good. I'm stumped. I have no idea.
That is Les Miles doing a Wookiee impression in a Hawk Talk.
Oh, right, Hawk Talk. Right,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like he just stubbed his toe.
Yeah.
Mean, it's unbelievable. That is so inaccurate. I've never seen a Star Wars.
I haven't heard that in a minute, and I'm so glad we got to hear it again. It's how I feel every time I accidentally watch 7 consecutive minutes of KU football. It's just that exact same sound.
Right. Well, I mean, KU football is basically piling up it's piling up the episodes like Star Wars, except this is not exactly a cult favorite from anyone.
Is it fair to say that the KU football, by the way, you can listen to KU football this afternoon here on Sports Radio 810, your home for Kansas athletics. Is it fair to say that the KU football season ended whenever KU tipped off their first basketball game of the year?
Yeah, that's usually the way it is, but I think it would have gone back even further than that. I think it probably ended whenever Coastal Carolina jumped out to a 28-0 lead in Lawrence in the first half. I would say that pretty much did it. That was pretty much the gut punch that dropped KU for a 10 count. I mean, it's only gotten worse since then. KU's lost all of its conference games by 35.8 points per game. They've lost all of them by at least 3 touchdowns. The closest they've gotten was a game at West Virginia that they lost by 21 that Les Miles wasn't there for. So, I mean, I said at the beginning of the season that there are only 2 things that could make this season a failure for KU, fully expecting KU to finish with 1 or 0 wins, given the situation that they have, roster-wise. One is Les Miles starts meddling in the offense or defense or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that hasn't happened yet from what I've heard and observed,
mm-hmm.
other than the offensive line, really, which, let's be honest, that needs meddling in right now. I think everyone on staff should probably be working to try to figure out what's wrong with the offensive line beyond just a talent standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 is Les Miles goes the Charlie Weiss, David Beatty route of just making a bunch of JUCO commits, quick fix signees.
Yeah.
And that also hasn't happened. But they are definitely pushing the limit of that comment from the beginning of the season from me, because it has been even worse than I think even the most pessimistic KU football follower could have imagined.
Well, we accidentally spent 3 minutes on Les Miles' Wookiee impression than KU football. I feel like we've done our due diligence there. Let's talk about basketball. Let's go to the good one now. Obviously, it didn't start great against Gonzaga. Gonzaga is also genuinely excellent. The preseason number one for apparently good reason. They looked great. They looked great yesterday also. And then KU beats St. Joseph's, a team with a possessive name that I'm never going to fully say with total confidence because there's an apostrophe in there. But what did you see before we get to any of the sort of the specifics from each of those two games? Do you feel like anything kind of jumped out to you from those two matchups collectively and what KU might be seeing as an early season storyline?
Yeah, I think for sure. Look, you can look at it in a glass half full, glass half empty type of way. You could say from the glass half empty type of way that David McCormick struggled mightily, mm-hmm. and he looks to have made no progress in the offseason despite being, for the second straight offseason, the most improved slash best player in the KU basketball preseason. He was unplayable yesterday, and that was against basically a five-guard lineup that St. Joseph sent out there. And the day before, against a much bigger team, he was pretty much unplayable. He struggled against teams that were big, and he struggled against teams that were small, and that's just through two games. He played 2 minutes in the second half of yesterday's game, and granted, he kind of banged up his knee, but he could not do anything offensively or defensively on the court that made you, I mean, it goes beyond just not having, it just goes beyond having, you know, Udoka withdrawals, like, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond, because even when they brought in Mitch Lightfoot, I mean, he was a complete defensive liability, even though he did a couple of nice things in Fort Myers offensively. At times, he was in the wrong position far more often than you would expect a fifth-year senior to be in.
Yeah.
So that's the glass half empty. Glass half full, I mean, it sounds crazy to say this, and I know, you know, Chris Stone on Twitter kind of coined the term Villanova, mm-hmm. but this five guard, I mean, I'm going to call them five guard. Jalen Wilson is listed as a forward. I'm going to call them five guard. That's mm-hmm. just easier, and I'm always one to take the easiest route here.
Sure.
The five guard lineup looks very good, mm-hmm. and I think even against a bigger Gonzaga team, I think that they held their own. I mean, they had some lapses, and that's to be expected on the defensive end when your biggest player is 6'8". But I think particularly whenever they had DeJuan Harris come in, the redshirt freshman out of Columbia, Missouri, and play the point guard, and Marcus Garrett was allowed to play off ball a little bit, mm-hmm. That's whenever the game against St. Joseph's, that's whenever KU for the first time to me really looked like a top-10 team. And DeJuan Harris, you know, came across in just his 15-minute second-half appearance as a guy who will, I mean, he absolutely loves to facilitate far more than he loves to score, although if you leave him wide open, he will attempt a three.
Right.
I mean, I think that was totally encouraging, and to me, if I'm a KU fan, I would come away from those two games more encouraged than discouraged, although I would say the front court situation, I mean, it's definitely going to need some major work. Bill Self, to me, the most surprising thing that was said yesterday, and I wrote about it for the Capital Journal, was, you know, they got the points out of Christian Brown, and Bill Self said after the game that David McCormick, who currently is averaging 8 points, sixth on the team, he still believes that he will be the team's leading scorer by the end of the season.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about this. I feel like if that happens, I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think to me, if Ochai or Christian leads this team in scoring, I think that would be a very, very good sign for KU, because I think it would mean that they are capable three-point weapons, which I think that's going to have to be more so this team's identity than pounding it inside. That's if David McCormick plays the way he played across the first two games. And honestly, if he plays the way he played across the first two games for the rest of the season, I mean, KU is in serious, serious trouble, even if they kind of really embrace this five-guard look that Bill Self said will be more of a crutch moving forward than really a feature.
Let's keep doing the glass half full, glass half empty, just sort of, you know, jittering back and forth, because I think that what you just touched on there is very interesting to see what would things look like if they do have to go the five-guard route. But the optimistic bits of it, I mean, and you're right, DeJuan Harris seems like he ended up being the darling out of the game yesterday in 15 minutes where he scored 3 points. But I think it makes, and we talked to our friend Scott Chasen about a lot of this yesterday, and he went through some of the differences in how exactly Marcus Garrett, like, run, he can run the offense, but doesn't necessarily distribute, and doesn't have the guys to distribute to that he's had in years past at this point. So I think, I know this is a lot more complex than this, but you mentioned letting Garrett play off ball a little more if Dwan Harris can be the guy that's just out there and loving that he's distributing and not even really worrying about getting his own shots at this point. Mm-hmm. That seems like, if not a good future total evolution for this team, at least a good option to have as they try to find different ways to create some more positive matchups. Do you think that's going to be something they try to facilitate a little more going forward?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, Bill Self said after the game yesterday that Dwan Harris basically earned his confidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something that he said Dwan Harris had not really shown at practices this preseason, and he has been a little bit nicked up, as Coach Self said. But to me, Marcus Garrett, look, he's a guy that led the Big 12 in assists last year. That's impressive. But how many of those assists were just dumping it to Udoka, who could dunk? I mean, right. that to me is the easiest assist you can get in basketball. Yeah. I think Marcus Garrett's a guy that's always struggled with his shot, but has always been capable to drive and get to the rim. I think Marcus Garrett, Bill Self said in his post-game radio show interview yesterday that, look, Dwan Harris isn't a starter. And I think that's totally fair. I think Dwan Harris is a great kind of dynamite guy coming off the bench. But to me, I think Dwan Harris is clearly the team's backup point guard, which is why in the opener, I was surprised to see Bryce Thompson almost exclusively handle those duties. I think Bryce Thompson has a huge role in this team. Five-star freshman coming in for KU, has the pedigree, has the accolades from high school. But I think that I don't think he's the backup point guard for this team. I think Dwan Harris earned that role yesterday. And, you know, if Marcus Garrett experiences any kind of, you know, breathing problems, as he apparently did yesterday, which is always scary to hear in the calendar year of our Lord 2020.
Right.
I still think that KU fans should feel confident that Dwan Harris can, you know, really navigate things. I mean, we've seen guys on this team really kind of force shots early on. You're not going to have to worry about that with Dwan Harris. And if Ochai and Christian have the kind of season that it looks like they're kind of shaping up to have, having a guy who doesn't hunt his own shots and can find them wide open with incredible vision is such a luxury that I think he would command probably, you know, at least 10 minutes a game, I think, at the point. And that doesn't even mean that Marcus goes to the bench, but it means you don't have to maybe play him 39 minutes a game at point guard like you have some of the past point guards that Bill has had in recent years.
And the other side of the, again, just sort of calling it five guards and letting them figure out what Jalen Nelson really is, do you think that the five-guard lineup can be successful in conference play, or what would success look like? What's fair to expect there, especially whenever you look at a team like Baylor and a lot of the bigs in the conference that if KU is not relying on McCormick or expecting much out of Lightfoot, what that might look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think KU fans probably at this point through two games, and granted it's still very early, but I think KU fans are probably more bearish on McCormick and Lightfoot than it seems that Bill Self and the KU coaching staff are. Mm-hmm. I think that they'll probably just chalk it up to a bad week, a bad couple of games, and I have no reason to not believe that David McCormick was as impressive as all the players and coaches said he was in the preseason. But the simple fact of the matter is he's not Udoka Azubuike. Mm. And Udoka Azubuike was, as so many Big 12 coaches said, the most unguardable player in America for basically 4 years. I mean, you could, especially his final year. I mean, he was completely dominant, and that wasn't even his best shooting percentage year. That was the year that KU, you know, had four elite three-point shooters around him and ended up making a run to the Final Four. So I look at it and I say, look, I totally understand why Bill Self says that this is not sustainable when you play the Kentuckys, when you play the Tennessees, when you play your Big 12 schedule. But I think on the offensive end, I think it's dynamic. I think it has the potential to be a dynamic unit on a team that, to this point, I'm not sure what else it could hang its hat on. Mm. And that's not saying that this team isn't a top 10 team. I think this team has the talent to contend for a Final Four again. But I think that that is a weapon that could, on the other end, potentially be a defensive liability. But to be honest with you, and I know it was St. Joseph's, and I know Gonzaga probably took its foot off the gas a little bit by the point that KU really leaned on the five-guard lineup in the second half of that game on Thursday. I think I don't think it's going to be as big of a defensive liability as you might think it would be, especially with as heady as Jalen Wilson has looked at that spot. And that's it's really important to note that is, as Bill has said, that is without Jalen Wilson really knowing anything about the five and Christian Brown really not knowing anything about the four. If they focus in on teaching those guys those principles for a small ball oriented lineup, I mean, you're not going to be able to, do what you did last year. But let's be frank here. David McCormick gave them nothing in the first two games of the season.
Yeah.
If he continues to play like that against small teams and big teams, I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if you're playing Kentucky. I don't care if you're playing a Big 12 team. You are far better off trying to win a 95-89 game than you are trying to force feed a big who doesn't play to his size. So and a fifth-year big who really has no awareness on the defensive end through two games.
Yeah.
So to me, I think I would say, you're in this pandemic year, you're always worried about installing things and having a limited amount of time and taking a 2-week break. But I think if I'm KU today, I'm really starting to install packages, sets, and things that can go beyond just being a crutch for Jalen Wilson at the five and Christian Brown at the four.
This is probably even more like this is as unanswerable, I imagine, as these sort of bigger picture questions get. But it feels like throughout many times, basically since I've been paying relatively close attention to how Bill Self does things over the last 5 years or 6 years or so, it seems like there are lots of times where Self has an end result in mind where he may sacrifice some things earlier in the year that he thinks is going to help get them, to a better place towards the end, which I think is a reasonable way to go about, coaching in general. Do you think that is fair? And do you think that there is a place where that all aligns here, where you say, you know what, this might be maybe the five guard lineup becoming a little bit bigger part of the pie. Maybe that's the best thing for them right now, but maybe Self thinks the ceiling is higher if McCormick finds his footing over the next month or whatever. Do you think does that check out?
Yeah, totally. And to be fair, I agree. If McCormick can find his footing, I think the ceiling for this team is much higher. If David McCormick can be an above average big in Big 12 play and contend for, as Bill Self said in the preseason, his expectation for David McCormick was to be a first team all Big 12 type of player. And to challenge for an All-American team spot in, first, second, or third. Those seem insane right now after two games. But I think the team, if he can drag that out of David McCormick, who, let's be fair, is a former McDonald's All-American, it's not like he's some scrub. If he can pull that out of David McCormick, if it really was just a bad couple of games out of David McCormick, then I think that makes the team ceiling higher, and maybe we'll all be looking back and laughing in 2 months at talking about running exclusively almost a five-guard lineup. Yeah. Having said that, it's a kind of a show-me type situation. David McCormick has to show he's capable of that. He kind of got a raw deal playing behind the best big in the country for 2 years that, he maybe thought he wouldn't have even been teammates with had Udoka not gotten hurt his freshman year. But when you look at the situation, I think, look, more than anything, Bill Self is a master motivator. He pushes all the right buttons. I'll take you back to Carlton Bragg. When he was expected after Perry Ellis left to kind of slide in and have a similar type of role for KU. In the offseason and after late night when Carlton Bragg actually had a good game, Bill Self was extremely critical of Carlton Bragg and said Carlton Bragg has to be better in X, Y, and Z. Then I remember in Maui, the first game that KU played that season, Bill Self's tone totally changed. It was almost like, hey, Carlton's doing his best to get out of this funk and we believe in him. I think the most disconcerting thing if you're a Bill Self player is when he loses that kind of overly critical or just being critical of you after you perform well type of role and enters the kind of coddling type of role where he's like, because then to me, I think that it shows internally that he might be starting to lose a little bit of faith in you and might believe that he may need to motivate you in a different way. I'm not saying David McCormick is there yet, but through two games to say that David McCormick is going to lead this team in scoring, I think it's bold, and I think it's definitely, if I don't think he has to lead this team in scoring, but he has to be competent to for this team to reach its ceiling. And through two games, he just straight up hasn't been. So I agree with the notion that David McCormick has to be better. And quite frankly, he's only one person. Mitch mm-hmm. Lightfoot has to be better too, because David McCormick can't play 40 minutes a game. But with that in mind, I mean, right now, at this moment, KU's better playing five guards, and Bill Self said as much.
Mitch Lightfoot just being like weirdly out of position defensively, that would not have been on my bingo card coming into two weeks into the season. What are we going to be talking about? I think it's going to be that Mitch Lightfoot's out of position a lot. What? Yeah. What? Are we sure?
You can expect some rust from him. I mean, he took all of last year as a redshirt.
Sure.
I mean, this is his fifth year in the program. Potentially, he could have six. Mm-hmm. So I would say
he's got to keep the sixth, by the way, right? I mean, like, you got to. Just live it up, Mitch.
You have to. I mean, if you want to be – that's a trivia question in the future. That's,
yeah.
In 20 years down the line, that makes him a trivia answer. And to me, that's – shouldn't we all aspire in life to be a trivia answer?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's exactly – I think that's – there are a number of ways you can go about trying to, you know, leave your legacy. And if you can do it in a very specific Kansas basketball bar trivia night 10 years in the future, I feel like there are worse ways to go about it. What do you think about the game against Kentucky? You've mentioned several times. I imagine that a huge number of people are still sort of shell-shocked that college basketball has started, just because our sports brains are absolutely oatmeal at this point. You mentioned, you know, the Big 12 or Kentucky a few times. They're playing Kentucky in a couple of days. What are you looking ahead for there? And you can't just say David McCormick. We've squeezed all of the juice out of that particular orange for this topic today.
Right. Well, I just have to say that I think it's insane, as you kind of were mentioning, that in a week from today, KU will have completed more than 20% of its season.
Crazy.
That's how front-loaded everything is. And this non-con schedule is no joke for KU. I mean, given, assuming it actually happens, which is a big assumption in 2020,
mm-hmm.
they've got Kentucky, they've got Creighton, they've got Tennessee, already played Gonzaga. So those are serious teams. And I think I'm really looking at exactly what Christian Brown and Ochai Agbaji can bring to the table.
Yeah.
I tweeted this, and I think that they are both in line for huge seasons. Ochai, I don't know what you think about this, but Ochai's three-point stroke looks so much more true, I guess, and fluid and natural than it did his first two seasons. He's looking like the guy that they took the red shirt off of his freshman year, and I think that was the LeGerald Vick season where he was explosive. And everyone else, I mean, they were desperate for help in that season.
Yep.
And, you know, I remember the game at Texas where he was dunking and he was, you know, running out and going nuts. And meanwhile, LeGerald Vick was committing three shot clock violations in the first half en route to another road loss for that team. But
you don't think about that often or anything. But
I think about it every day of my life. How that's humanly possible for an individual to do that. But I look back at that and I think, yeah, I mean, granted, some of these NBA draft projection outlets are kind of, complete nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But they had Ochai after like 3 weeks climbing into, late first round, early second round NBA draft pick. That was after 3 weeks of his career. He tapered off after that, and I would say he didn't have a disappointing sophomore season, but I think everybody expected him to take that next step forward as a sophomore, and he kind of mostly just stayed on an even field to where he was as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Through two games, he's taken that next step. And I think he will, despite what Christian Brown was able to do, I think Ochai will end up his team's leading scorer. Having said that, I think Christian Brown has to be this team's most aggressive player because, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he is its best three-point shooter. And I think that aggression that you saw in the second game, even when he had his 30 points, he put up two more threes. And, that kind of hurt his shooting number a little bit because I think at one point he was 5 for 6. He finished 5 for 8. I mean, hurt his number is maybe a bit of an exaggeration. But that same aggressiveness, if they get that same aggressiveness against a blue blood like Kentucky when all the spotlight is on this game and not so much against, as you put it, an apostrophe team, then – or maybe a directional team.
Right.
I think that that's going to bode really well. And I have no reason to believe that confidence is something that Christian Brown, a guy who does the bow and arrow pose after most of his three pointers, is and is going to have a problem with. So I think, to me, my eye is on, or I guess both of my eyes probably pointing different directions, if that's possible, is on,
sure,
are on Ochai and Christian in this game.
Two things. One, Beard says that Ochai is currently 37th on Tankathon's like big board right now for next mm-hmm. year, because I think Beard has Tankathon as his homepage. It's either that or just like the NBA subreddit. Also, yeah. I said this to Rudy yesterday. I'll say it to you now. Christian Brown has a little bit of Tyler Hero in him, and I'm not going to explain or expand on that any further. But that I'm just going to leave it exactly there. But if you,
I don't think he has the doesn't Tyler Hero have like a chest tattoo or a back tattoo?
I don't think
Christian Brown has that yet.
I think by the end of this year, Christian Brown's going to have a more Tyler Hero haircut, and I think it's all going to start really coming together. I think right now, the haircut's going to be kind of the next, sort of the Gordon Hayward evolution, but it's starting to happen earlier for guys. That's going to be Christian Brown this season.
You really have to just roll and embrace with the kind of, to borrow a pro wrestling term, the heel role. And when you're playing for a blue blood and you're a 3-point type shooter or a Tyler Hero type player, as you alluded to, and I will go no further, you really have to kind of embrace this, because you know that, you know, when these games start getting on national TV, as Thursday's game was and you know, Tuesday's game will be, everyone else that doesn't root for KU will zone in on you and will hate you.
Yes.
I mean, there's no reason to hate Christian Brown. He's one of the nicest people on the entire team. He's one of the best quotes, one of the best interviews, completely unselfish player.
Yeah.
But you know he will be hated.
There's
no further explanation needed.
Nope.
It's just the nature of being you know, on a blue blood and having that kind of a role. So, yeah.
Tyler Hero does have some...
Go for the mohawk. Go for something completely crazy.
Yeah, no, I think leaning into it is the only move. Tyler Hero has some weird tattoos I'm seeing now. Like, in bright red, sort of angled to the top of his pecs, under his shoulder. One side says no work, one side says no check.
Right, that's perfect. You've got to get those kinds of tattoos.
The
meaningless things that you would find on a fortune cookie. Christian Brown should go out and buy a fortune cookie, and whatever it says, he should get as a tramp stamp.
Yeah, I think that's good. Tyler Hero also has the mid-chest big, like, cross tattoo, but then underneath,
that's the one I'm,
he's got, like, they're like, you know, the wreaths that go around whenever an indie film gets nominated for an award or something? Those olive branches? He's got that as sort of, I don't know how else to say this, other than as an underboob tat. And
he is the Sundance NBA Player of the Year.
Yeah, that is what it looks like. The way that this is the way that this tattoo is set up, it looks like his nipples have been honored at Sundance. that's what it looks like.
Man, if you can't be a trivia question, that has to be a Second Life honor you want, is your nipples to be honored at Sundance.
That's 100% it. You know what? Let's end there, Matt. Thank you as always for making some time. And if you know, if there's another silver lining for the college basketball season being here before we expected it, it's going to be that we can talk about Tyler Hero's tattoos and other things more often.
For sure, and we don't have to talk about KU football as often.
Yes, it is disappearing. You can hear KU's game today against TCU, I think, right? TCU?
Yep.
Yeah, great. You can hear that this afternoon here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and you can get coverage of all things Kansas from Matt Galloway and the Topeka Capital Journal. Follow him on Twitter at @TheMattGalloway. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
I've gotten to a point where I can say thank you, Matt, to literally... I think I've said that four times this week. Four times this week I've ended a conversation with a guest with thank you, Matt, and it's been Matt Derrick, Matt Verderam, Matt Connor, Matt Galloway. And there are more Matts out there.
Who are we missing? Who can we add?
We can add Matt Tate.
Yes.
And there's at least one more. Are we just both going to go to our contacts on our phones and look for Matts?
I think that's it that I've got.
I feel like there's a couple more options out there.
Those are the only ones that are popping up for me. You might have other.
I have several people named Matt that I know personally that don't, that aren't like guests, you know. I talked to Matt Waldman once. I had him on the show, got his contact in here. And then Tate, yeah. Well, eventually we'll call it a matinee or a matinee. But I think a matinee is pretty good. We'll just do one of those one time where we just have like six consecutive Matts all on the show all at once. There are probably a few. Maybe we can see if the Chiefs let us talk to Matt McMullen. There's another one. I don't have his number, but I can tweet him. Are you thinking about more Matts? Matt Miller, at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. I've wanted to talk to Matt Ellentuck, who I think at least most recently has worked for SB Nation. Matt Peterson covers the Suns. I'm just going through people I follow on Twitter named Matt. On that note, we're not going to continue to do that segment the entirety of the rest of the day. We'll come back and talk about some Chiefs-Bucks stuff as tomorrow is game day for maybe the last matchup between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Very excited for that game. A little concerned about a couple things going on the Chiefs' defense right now. We'll talk about that whenever we come back here on Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe.
It's Fee McCarluke
on Sports Radio 810. WHB.
The majority of that commercial break was spent with Beards and I just going, hey, do you remember this guy used to play for KU but then didn't all of a sudden? What was it? So walk me through, Beards, what happened to your brain? Where Matt Galloway fired off a thought and where that sent you?
Matt Galloway was talking about Carlton Bragg and like the getting the Memorial Doghouse.
The Carlton Bragg.
No, the Brandon Green Memorial Doghouse.
Yes.
And then switching to like the coddling phase. And I was reminded of Cliff Alexander's time there. And I got very annoyed because I was very excited for Cliff Alexander. And then he stayed in the Brandon Green Memorial Doghouse most of the year.
Did he have a thing with the car?
No.
Who had the car thing most recently? That was
DeSosa.
I think I'm thinking of a different car thing. DeSosa's had so many things. That didn't go well. But we went from Carlton Bragg's stay in the Brandon Green Memorial Doghouse. Mm-hmm. Galloway also mentioned the Gerald Vick, which was just one of the weirder stints at Kansas. I don't know. That just all went very strangely. Then Beard said, hey, remember Charlie Moore? And then we went back to find out that he had gone to DePaul. We went and remembered that Carlton Bragg transferred. Because I asked Beards, I said, did he go somewhere after Arizona State? And Beards is like on his reference page. Like, no, he never played at Arizona State. No, he transferred to Arizona State, never played there, and then transferred to New Mexico. Was last year his senior year? Is he still playing?
No, he's done, I think.
Okay. Somebody went to like... Who went overseas amidst all sorts of issues? This was like a year or two ago. It was a country that started with a B. There have been so many.
Billy Preston.
Billy Preston went to like Bulgaria or something. I don't think it was Bulgaria. Where did he go?
I'm looking. Hold on, nope, wrong Billy Preston.
Yeah, because there's also Billy Preston, the old dead musician.
Yes, with an excellent afro.
Yes, and we would play Billy Preston music when
Bosnia.
Talking about Bosnia. What did I say? Bulgaria?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Bosnia. Billy Preston went to Bosnia. Is he still in Bosnia?
No.
Where's Billy Preston?
He was last seen on the
last seen?
Yeah, on the Illawarra Hawks, which is I think was the team that LaMelo Ball was on.
He's the little ball.
Yes. He was released only after 3 games though. And that was the last time Wikipedia has been updated to see where Billy Preston...
Get off Wikipedia and go find Billy Preston for me. Also, Quentin Grimes is now in his second season with Houston. That Quentin Grimes thing kind of bums me out. Just because it seemed... That one was like supposed to be way more fun than it actually was.
It started out nice and then got very not nice.
Yeah. He didn't even start every game for Houston last year. He started both games this year, though. 31 minutes in 2 games for Houston. Some of those guys have to be... Because, I mean, you mentioned on Tankathon that Ochai is at 37 on their big board right now.
Yes, and he's the only KU player that's on their big board.
How deep does that go?
Only to 40.
Okay, so he's barely squeaking in. But, like, I mean, Galloway mentioned this. But we saw... He was shooting up some of those big boards after literally like 3 games.
Yeah, I remember that.
When they took off his red shirt. Because he looked like an NBA player. I mean, he looked like an NBA prospect, you know? The speed and the shot were both there. And if you're going to let me pick two traits for a young prospect, I think the speed and the shot might be my first two picks. I guess size, which also he's got plenty of size to pull off a lot of that. He passed the eye test immediately. I'm almost a little surprised by the fact that I think it's mostly because Christian Brown's looked so good and McCormick has looked so bad that that's where our conversations have started for these last couple of these first two games of the season. But I think that I hope that we get some just dominant Ochai performances and that becomes just sort of a part of the equation that everyone has to expect with Kansas, because whenever he's hot, it's great. Like he's probably. I guess Brown's going to fight for this role, but I think on this team right now, he's the most fun guy to watch whenever everything is working. Have you found anything on Billy Preston yet, Beards?
I have not. I was looking up J.J. Redick at Duke.
That's not what I asked you to look up!
But you were talking about Christian Brown, and he needs to embrace the heel role. So I'm just saying, you know, get the gelled spikes or whatever, kind of like what J.J. Redick had there for a little bit.
I think that's a little too old now, though. I think Tyler Hero...
But I think that's the funny part.
I think Tyler Hero, for no particular reason, is the blueprint. It's just because he's, you know, an outside shooter who, you know, played at a blue blood. Nothing else in particular connects those two, but I think that part is important. I'm now on Billy Preston's G League page. If you Google Billy Preston basketball, there are several YouTube videos about why he got cut. These are some weird niche accounts. The tragic career ruining story of Billy Preston. NCAA ruined Billy Preston's basketball career. What happened to Billy Preston? Did the NCAA ruin his career? Why the Illawarra Hawks released Billy Preston? Anyway, those stories are always really tough.
I remember he got signed by Cleveland.
He was on their G League team. Yeah. That's what I was just looking at. Also, his headshot is in a Cavs jersey. Those are always. I mean, now he's an ancient 23 years old. So, the shine kind of goes away. But man, just the way that basketball produces, chews up, and ultimately ends up just sort of passing on a bunch of prospects has always been interesting to me.
He was the one with the car, by the way, that you were thinking of.
Okay.
There was like a car accident.
Yeah, there was a minor car accident on campus. The car was registered to someone else, but it was also like maybe through the school or something. I'm now guessing. There was a minor car accident on campus. At least what I remember the story being. I wasn't there.
So what we're saying is KU players ride bikes. Ride bicycles.
I don't know. I mean, you know how easy it is to get hurt falling off a bike? I think you might have given bad advice there. I think especially right now, I think it's just wrap yourself in bubble wrap and put on a mask and sit in your comfiest chair.
That's fair.
And play video games, but give yourself a good like carpal tunnel break, you know, every 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Your game freezes every 30 minutes and you're forced to go, you know, stretch your hands or something. I bet we're the only radio show in America that mentioned Billy Preston today, right? We've got to be. I cut a bunch of Chiefs audio that we'll try to get to next segment before the show actually just ends. But I really thought that, you know, today we were going to do a lot of Chiefs Bucks. We'd do one KU segment because they're interesting. And then we ended up getting distracted by Billy Preston, Quentin Grimes, and Carlton Bragg.
And Cliff Alexander, which I'm still really mad about.
I always get this wrong. Was Sheck Diallo... What was the Diallo timeline?
He didn't play to start the year, and then he was eligible to play like halfway through the season or whatever. I think he only played the 1 year.
How much... Okay, well, this is not going to go any more quickly. There's Diallo, and there's also someone else who never played for KU that I'm thinking of. There was another big man that was like... about to be recruited or something, and then just ended up going overseas. Did Diallo not ever go overseas?
No, he went to the NBA.
I thought he had to go overseas for some reason.
maybe he was just sort of disappointing because of how long that all took.
Yeah, he wasn't that great.
But he's also now like a totally reasonable NBA player.
What are his stats? I'm curious. Oh, yes, he's a Phoenix Sun.
I think he might be on his... I can't remember if they retained him or not. I think he was a restricted free agent. Yeah, he was active for 27 games with KU, but he only started one of them. 7.5 minutes per game. I guess that was what I was thinking. It definitely took a while, and he never got much playing time.
I remember I went to the first game that he played, and like all I did that whole game was just like, all right, whenever he's in on defense, I'm just watching him and seeing what he does and if he's any good. And I also very quickly learned he has just bricks for hands instead of, you know, normal hands like people have.
You'd think that would have really hampered his NBA career, but is he allowed to play with fake fingers? Because I'm looking at a picture right now. It looks like he's got 10 fingers.
They're just littler bricks.
Okay. With joints in the middle, conveniently enough.
Yeah, I mean, Lego bricks have little joint pieces.
Yeah, all right. I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Let's take a break. That's Beards McFly, and this segment belonged to him.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe.
Listen, when I finish one half of my foot long, I have a cookie.
Have a halftime cookie?
Yeah.
I didn't
know.
And
then I have the rest of my sandwich, and then I have the other cookie. It doesn't work the same if you only have one cookie. I'm not splitting that thing in half.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards' halftime cookie is still just one of the most... Every single time, it bleeps me up a little bit.
I could use a Good Sense halftime cookie right about now. I haven't had lunch yet.
I feel like we can say this because they're both sponsored. I'm about to compliment both of them. For anything that this station does well, we don't do anything as well as we do have sandwich sponsors. Because Good Sense and Schlotsky's are both... I had Schlotsky's yesterday during the KU game between... editions of the Zone Gram.
Oh, the Zone Gram.
Almost entirely the Zone Gram yesterday. It was great.
The Prozone?
I brought the Prozone. That's the character from The Incredibles. We did that joke on Wednesday, I think. I'm reusing jokes and everything. I don't know how this actually went, but the women's soccer player for Vandy, who was active for the game today, I should definitely have learned her name by now, and I apologize for not, but I believe she just came in to try an onside kick to start the second half for Vandy, which is kind of cool. I think that makes her the first woman to play a snap in Power 5 college football.
Sarah Fuller.
Thank you. I thought Sarah. I could not remember Sarah Fuller. There you go. That's speaking of trivia questions. That's a pretty cool one. Recorded a Power 5 snap there on an onside kick. And the reason that was their first opportunity for her to get on the field, by the way, is because Mizzou is beating Vandy 21-0 right now. Vanderbilt is 0-7. But I imagine Vandy must have received the opening kick, and they have not had to have a kicker on the field until now. Vandy had a bunch of kickers. They had kickers hurt. They had kickers with COVID issues, I think, and so she's a goalie. I did know that. They essentially called her up from the soccer team, and kind of a cool moment there. I put that game on one of our TVs up here because I thought, well, maybe we'll see her kick a field goal. I'm now not sure that Vandy's going to get her into field goal range, but had the second half kickoff, and I'm not sure that Vandy is going to get a defensive stop at any point or score at any point either, but pretty cool. Moment there in the Mizzou Vandy game. So let's spend a couple minutes on Chiefs and Bucks tomorrow. I told you that the one Thornhill thing has been confusing. The Chiefs cut Tedrick Thompson today. Their whole safety position at this point is concerning on a variety of levels. I don't totally understand the logic there. I feel better knowing that Seth Kizer also doesn't understand the logic, because
I believe that I can trust his eyes when I'm not sure if I can trust my own. But Spags talked a little bit about Thornhill yesterday. Actually, let's go read first from what Andy Reid said in post game. This was after Juan Thornhill played 11 snaps against the Raiders.
No, that was part of the plan, Herbie. He's a situational guy right now, and we're just kind of bringing him back slowly. So that's what we're doing.
The thing that's weird there is that he played almost every snap weeks 2 through 6, I believe. Had played a majority of snaps in week 1 and in the games leading up to the Raiders game. So the idea of bringing him along slowly now is just a little concerning. Even if it's purely medical, I'm a little bit nervous about what they saw during the bye week or whatever that made them think they needed to pull back a little bit on Thornhill. But also having him be a situational guy, as Reed said there, doesn't sound quite as medical, if that makes sense. Seemed like that might be a role thing. Spags talked about Thornhill yesterday, and I think he gave us a few more clues in this conversation.
Well, I think Juan and I talked a week ago, and the plan was to take some snaps off him. I just think he needs to be rested a little bit. Him and I had a conversation. I'll keep between him and I in a good way. I'm saying we were trying to figure out, how to get him to where he was at the end of last year. And this is kind of what we've coming up with right now. And hopefully as we go, this thing will get back to where it was before, but we'll just let it play itself out. But he's in a good place. I mean, look at, he's going to get some confidence back, and he's going to help he helps our defense. So we're going to be good going forward.
The thing there, again, the injury based part would have been 100% unquestionably valid at... Why are you talking to yourself, Beards? Are you okay back there?
I was making sure I had the time down that I needed the music to get out.
Okay, you're doing math out loud. Not, yes. I thought you may have been yelling at equipment, and I always get nervous when that happens because it could mean we're no longer on the air.
Nope, nothing has messed up today so far.
Well, other than us.
I mean, that was a given.
Right, and that's also more subjective at least, right?
Yeah.
Inarguable, but subjective. The injury-related stuff, again, if this happens at the beginning of the year, if he would have played 11 snaps, 60 snaps, 80 snaps, and he kind of ramped up whatever, that would have been a very, very easy... I would never have doubted that for a half second. The thing here is that, he's saying about getting him back to where he was before, needing to get some confidence back. It sounds like there might be some performance-based issues there as well. Maybe they're thinking, hey... Maybe it's performance issues related to his health, which is, again, valid, but just sort of a really weird thing to be doing, after 10 games and 11 weeks to say, all right, now we're going to kind of pull you back a little bit and watch your mileage. It's just, I don't know. I didn't expect that to pop up midseason. It's also not like the rest of the safety group has been excellent without him out there. So it makes it an even more sort of confusing call there. Beards, do we have time to sneak in Eric Bieniemy on anything, or is the show basically over? I'm
about to hit the music right now.
I'll tell you some things that Eric Bieniemy talked about. He talked about Sammy Watkins and why he's such a good fit in this offense and what he does to help benefit everybody. He should be back in this game. The Chiefs put out their injury report yesterday. Everybody was good to go. Now, at about this time, a couple hours after this time last week, Sammy Watkins was downgraded from questionable to out. Right now, fully healthy, though, and that was based on his calf injury that popped up midweek. No need to force that one. So, fair enough. Not terribly concerned about that, and glad to have him back. Also, wouldn't be surprised to see him brought along maybe a little slowly. Although we'll just have to see there. Some other good stuff from Bieniemy that maybe we'll, I don't know, talk about. Probably never, because tomorrow we're going to have a game. If you want to enjoy a little KU football action, you can hear all the coverage and the game itself of KU versus TCU here today on Sports Radio 810. Tons of Chiefs coverage tomorrow. I'll talk to you on the post-game show. Until then, bye, Mom.